All right, good evening, everyone. Pads on, mouthpiece in, blow the whistle, and here we go. This is the Fantasy Burners Podcast, and I am Brandon.
And I am Matt, and today we are going to be discussing the all-important dynasty fantasy quarterback position. We're going to give you our top four ranking for probably this year, as well as the next couple years here, as we are going to focus on some dynasty rankings today. And then we will discuss the superiority of Kansas City Barbecue, as that was a tidbit that we dropped to you guys last week. We're hoping to impart a little bit more wisdom on that front for you and give you something a little more, well, not necessarily lighthearted because it sits pretty heavy on you, but certainly something that's near and dear to our hearts. So I think we'll certainly kick it off with the dynasty quarterback rankings first, and then we'll polish it off with a nice tall Budweiser, along with some of that nice Kansas City barbecue. So, Brandon, you want to start us off with your number one quarterback coming into the season? These are probably going to be pretty chalk as we get into maybe the first two. It might get a little spicy as we get into the later two. So,
yeah, I think it'll be pretty interesting as we go through the four. And I think as a note, right? I think four is an important number because once you get past this sort of, I feel like from a dynasty perspective, once you get past this top four, you sort of jump down to a different tier from a dynasty perspective. So keep that in mind as we're talking about these players. It's not about who's going to be the best next year. It's going to be who's going to be the best that we think for the next 5 years or longer, right? Our dynasty quarterbacks are going to make the team. So I'm going to kick it off with Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is geared to have a, not only he himself, but his team to actually have a dynasty run themselves in Kansas City. So the Kansas City offense, even for next year, right, should be about the same as it was last year, with the exception that they brought in a new running back with the draft this year in CEH. I think he's a really interesting addition to kind of Patrick Mahomes' arsenal. I think with him in the backfield, he has a stronger option at running back than he ever has. And, you know, arguably the last 2 years, you know, minus the injury that he had MVP sort of setting seasons. And then, you know, last year with the Super Bowl itself, I think that goes without saying that, you know, him being the top quarterback going into at least next year and potentially into dynasty makes it pretty easy. And the guy's locked in for the next 10 years for $500 million. It's the largest sports contract in American history. I don't know if it's world history, but definitely American history. It's kind of mind blowing how crazy that Kansas City believes in his talent, so much so that they're willing to put a lot of dollars behind it. Andy Reid's really building for the future, which I think is interesting considering, you know, they won the Super Bowl last year. So, pair that with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's only 26. And little note of that, Matt, did you know he attended Garden City Community College?
I did not, but I'm not surprised with the pedigree of Garden City Community College and the amount of pro prospects that they turn out. That's not a surprise.
Yeah, Tyreek's, you know, kind of a smaller profile guy, 185 pounds, ran a 4.26 in the combine. He's arguably one of the fastest guys on the field anytime he takes the field. The only spot that I see as Kansas City from a dynasty perspective that they need to really be looking out for is potentially tight end, right? I know that sounds crazy considering Kelce is such a machine when it comes to that position, but he's 30 years old, right? So I think they do need to kind of look at that, but for Mahomes, like he, for me, is the clear number one from a dynasty perspective, just based off of what the future holds. We know he's going to be in Kansas City. He's a lock there for a long time. So really it's about building around him now. So that makes him the clear front runner. And don't take this as me being a Kansas City fan in no way. Matt, I know, you know, I'm not, but anybody that listens, I'm not either. Right. And you know, I know that we're from Kansas and Matt has talked about that in one of our previous podcasts, but a little note on that too. For those of you that don't know, the Chiefs actually play in Missouri. But that all being said, I still think Patrick Mahomes is really geared to be the top dynasty quarterback for now and in the future. So who's your number one?
Yeah, and I'll just go ahead and pivot, and I'll say my number one is Tom Brady, and he'll continue. No, it's a joke. The guy who turns, I believe, 52 this year, I think we'll shy away from him in fantasy football, for the foreseeable future. But no, Patty Mahomes is my number one as well. And just a note, I don't see any holes in their offense. Tyreek is a monster, and he is the cheetah. He is blazing fast, and it has not slowed down a step. As long as he can avoid injury, Patrick Mahomes is going to have one of the top five fastest, most dynamic playmakers in the league. And I hopefully he can stay healthy, just because he is a phenom when he's on the field. CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is going to be a pass catching monster in this offense. I don't see how. I mean, I think his floor in a given year is probably 55 catches, maybe 60 catches in a single season. So that puts his ceiling at around 90. He could be turning out Christian McCaffrey numbers this year. I mean, that's not going to be out of the realm of possibilities with the offense that they run. And tight end, you mentioned tight end and addressing the tight end position in the future. Kelce just signed a contract to go through age 36, I believe. So they're not worried about tight end. So I'm not worried about tight end. If they think Kelce is healthy enough and is going to hold up to today's NFL through age 36 season, which, if we didn't know, Tony Gonzalez, the infamous chief that then turned into a Falcon, that in his age 36 season, he still had 125 targets for something around 95 catches. I mean, he was still super uber productive. So I don't see that slowing down any. As long as they can keep Patrick Mahomes upright, healthy, and keep that right arm, maybe no quarterback sneaks. Maybe they don't do that, for the sake of all fantasy owners this year. If everybody remembers last year when he took that quarterback sneak up the middle, and that's what put him up on the shelf for a few games. Maybe let's don't do that and be smart, Andy Reid. Or if you're going to do that, put in the backup quarterback. Maybe don't put your $500 million
Yeah.
guy out in harm's way for that. But no, he's absolutely the number one. And if you've ever seen the guy throw a football on TV, you'd know why. He's a freak of an athlete. He's a leader. You just see it in him. I don't. And yeah, as a guy who lives in Kansas and watches and lives around Kansas City fans, it's kind of sickening to say that they have found the guy, because they've been looking so long for the guy,
Yeah.
right? They waited forever to draft a quarterback in the first round, and then when they do, they find the best that maybe, I'm not going to say has ever played, because he's won one Super Bowl, but he's also what, 23 and has won a Super Bowl, so he's got a lot of time to go before he has to hang up the cleats forever. So it's gonna be a long road until we drop Patrick Mahomes, probably out of the top five in any dynasty draft for a quarterback perspective. So yeah, everybody just he's penciled in. So
Yeah, he just of note, he's 24, but yeah, I don't think your argument changes at
No. Well, that one, yeah, that extra year, that actually now he moves down a year. So
we'll talk about age and kind of positioning as we kind of move down, but yeah, anything more to say on Patrick Mahomes?
no, I think he's the clear number one, and if he's not, then you probably need to reassess.
Yep. All right, you wanna kick us off with number two, Matt?
Yeah, I can take number two, and it's probably going to be a bit it's going to be a little more controversial. I'm actually so you mentioned in the opener there, this is probably one of the philosophical differences that I have with different people in even in Dynasty. You can take two different approaches, right? You can take the long approach if you have the ability to hold on to players for the entirety of their basically career, right? You are looking at kind of that, excuse me, you are looking at that 5 to 7 year threshold for quarterbacks, most likely, right? So you do have a little bit more extended time frame, but for me, I'm more looking at who is going to make an impact within the next 2 to 3 years. Because honestly, if we look out 5 to 7 years, and who will probably be in the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks, based on quarterback rankings, for that total time frame, you probably want to load up on draft picks because those guys probably aren't in the league yet. If you just look at the shelf life of an NFL player, you see a ton of turnover at every position, and that includes quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Murray, all of these guys are relatively new. Now we're talking about Burrow being up in maybe the top 8 coming in here. So the next wave of guys, they're just going to keep coming. So I take more of the next 2 to 3 year look instead of the next 5 to 7. So I'm looking at a little more focused approach in the beginning. So I'm going to play the homer card here and take Dak. I think Dak is poised to be up in that realm with Patrick Mahomes. He has a rushing pedigree. He has all of the weapons. We just named all of the weapons that Patrick Mahomes has, and I don't think you can say that the cast of characters around Dak Prescott is anything less than a main entree that somebody would want to have at a nice steak dinner. So he's got Amari, he's got Michael Gallup, they just added CeeDee Lamb to the equation. He's got Zeke Elliott in the backfield to take away that pressure, and he still has one of the top offensive lines in the league. And now we introduce Mike McCarthy into the equation, and as long as Dak stays in the system and stays with that cast of characters, again, and it's not like Dak is an old geriatric man running around the football field. He's still, I believe, he's 27. He still has 10 plus years of NFL time on his legs here, and he's not a true rushing quarterback either. The good thing about Dak is that he throws a ton. He throws 40 passes a game, but he's also getting, I believe his first 3 years in the league, he had 6 rushing touchdowns every year. I think last year he had 3, which was down a little bit, but still, if you're able to tack on, 4 to 6 rushing touchdowns in a given year, but also throw for 5,000 yards, you have an advantage over the vast majority of other quarterbacks. So, I'm with Dak. I think there's a lot of other people that are going to lean to Lamar Jackson in this window here, but I like the fact that Dak has that rushing ability, but also has the passing upside and has all of the weapons around him. He has established weapons around him. So, my number two is probably going to be. It's going to be different, I think, here. So I'm excited to hear what who you have it to.
I like your pick. I like Dak at number two. But I was looking more of who's going to have the biggest change year over year that's going to last for an extended period of time for their play style. So my number two is actually, this is probably a big shocker, is Kyler, right? I really like Kyler in the position that he's in. He was the number two rushing quarterback in the league last year. He was at 544, so it was about half of what Lamar came in at. However, I like that. I like a good, 400 to 600 yards from a quarterback is a great spot to be in without having to worry about that injury risk that plagues. That just tends to plague quarterbacks that are rush heavy. So I really like Kyler where he's at, getting the yardage that he's getting. He actually ended up at quarterback 10 last season with Larry Fitzgerald, 900-year-old wide receiver, University of Phoenix guy, as his top receiver. Now, don't get me wrong, everyone loves Larry. I love Larry. He's a staple. To the Arizona Cardinals, but he's n in no way a top wideout anymore. He's just not. He came in at wide receiver number 42. So you look at his top wide receiver came in at 42, and he came in at number 10, right? So what do you do when you take a guy who has no targets to go to in his wide receiving core, and you give him DeAndre Hopkins, who he himself came in at wide receiver number 10 with whatever that offense was in Houston? Right. So you put those two guys together, and I think Kyler, not only next year, but for years to come, is going to have great rep weapons to throw to. And he's going to explode even higher than he already did in his rookie season. Got to go in his rookie year and come in at 10 with what he had to deal with is pretty amazing. So that's why I've got Kyler. That's why I got Kyler sitting at number two. So, Matt, do you have any rebuttals to that on Kyler?
I'm just not a, yeah. I'm just not a. I'm not a huge Kyler guy. I'm not high on him this year. I think he's going to see a season kind of like Baker saw this year. I think he's going to get figured out. I think he's got all of the hype around him. Like, I mean, Baker last year was being drafted as the third or fourth overall quarterback off the board. And while they're not the same player, they have kind of the same, narrative coming into the season, right? It's they're the next guy. And I think we're always just kind of searching for the next guy. And instead I like to take kind of the tried and true and really solidify that quarterback position. I don't look at Kyler. I don't look at Kyler's tape. I don't look at what he does on the field and go, that guy is a difference maker. He's got the feet and he's got the legs and he's got the mobility to be a good quarterback, but so does Josh Allen. And nobody's putting Josh Allen in the top five quarterbacks going forward. It takes more than being able to just run the ball and being a good athlete to really kind of break through and be what we're looking for is that consistent top five. You know, we're looking for that Aaron Rodgers going forward, right? So the guy who was Aaron Rodgers had however many top, you know, three quarterback seasons. Coming into last year, he was always there. He was just consistent. And I think Kyler, in a lot of the veins that we had conversations about tight ends, I could see Kyler being a top two quarterback one year. And it's a lot like Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan throws for 36 passing touchdowns in an even year and throws for 22 touchdowns in odd years. If you look at his stats going over, like 2014, great. 2015 bad, 2016 great, 2017 bad, 2018 great, 2019 not so good. So this year Matt Ryan's going to be great. But I just I see Kyler in the vein of just being so volatile that I don't trust his production year in and year out.
And that's fair, but I think they profile different. Like you bring Matt Ryan up, they profile differently, right? Matt Ryan is not a, he's not a sort of hybrid running quarterback, right? Lamar is a running quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is sort of a hybrid, right? He didn't have nearly as many yards last year as really any of these guys that we're talking about, but he can still make things happen. If he doesn't have to, he's not going to. I think that's where I put Kyler at, right? If he doesn't have to, he doesn't necessarily he's not necessarily going to. Matt Ryan can't, right? He doesn't have the footwork. Josh Allen could, right? That's why he had over 500 yards. But what weaponry did he add? I like Diggs. We talked about this on the last podcast, but I am in no way comparing Stefon Diggs to DeAndre Hopkins, right? Hopkins is maybe the best receiver in the league. And you put him there with Kyler, who threw nearly 4,000 yards in his rookie season and rushed for over 500. That's pretty phenomenal from a rookie. I totally get what you're saying. He's not tried and true. He's still got a lot to prove. I like him overall for what he's going to be able to do. And I think when you give him the additional weaponry of DeAndre Hopkins, and I think you got a star at quarterback there. But let's pivot to number three. So I mentioned earlier, I liked your number two. Dak's great, all that stuff. But you know what? I'd probably be called crazy if I didn't put Lamar in the top three, right? Well, call me crazy because I actually prefer Dak. His play style, we talked about it a little bit, balanced run and pass, right? He threw for nearly 5,000 yards last season. We talked about rushing touchdowns that he's had. He had a little bit of a regression last season. I still think he can duplicate that if he has to. If he doesn't have to, he can easily just pass it to one of his receivers in the end zone, or dump it off to Zeke and let him do the work. So he's still in an offense that's poised to explode yet again, right? As Dallas had the number one offense last season. Dak was actually the number two fantasy quarterback, and obviously that had to deal, had to do with Lamar's ungodly rushing yards that he came in with. But he was the number two quarterback in Dallas that has already increased their arsenal with the addition of CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee's not going to, I don't think, automatically jump off the pages and explode as a, top five receiver. But I really wouldn't be surprised to see him break the 1,000 yard barrier at rookie. And there's a few guys that have done that over the years. Odell is one of them. Mike Evans is one of them. Obviously a handful of other really top tier pedigree wide receivers that we talk about today that really separate from the pack. I think CD is in that kind of grouping. I don't see him as a, like I said, a top five wide receiver this season, but I think he's still going to be able to break that threshold that a lot of the elite receivers jump into. So I think Dak has all of the weapons around him to really set him up for another successful campaign with the top, if not one of the top offenses in the league. So I got Dak as my number three, just overall, as it kind of plays out. He's got 4 less years than everyone else. I don't think that makes a whole lot of difference. A lot of these quarterbacks, I think, here in the top four are relatively interchangeable if they can stay injury free. I like Dak as my number three, just overall, because I like the upside of obviously Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I mean, he was my two, so I certainly agree with him being at three. And I think why and I can just jump into my number three just so we don't dwell on the Cowboys too long here. My number three is Lamar. So you can't call me crazy. Just mark that down. You can call Brandon crazy, but not me.
Do it.
My number three is definitely Lamar. And the only reason he is number three is because of the weapons that Dak has for the foreseeable future here. So Amari just signed a $100 million contract. Michael Gallup is still on his rookie deal. CeeDee Lamb just got pulled in. He is a future number one in the league. They see Michael Gallup as a number one as well. And I loved him coming out of Colorado. I loved his tape, or Colorado State. Sorry. He's a monster. So the only reason why I gave Dak the kind of the boost over Lamar Jackson is two reasons. One, I like his weapons better. I don't think you can argue that Dak has better. I don't think you can argue right in the contrary that Dak doesn't have better weapons than Lamar Jackson. He just
Right.
does. Lamar Jackson is a better athlete and is a cheat code in fantasy football. But with that comes injury risk. So you have a twofold kind of scenario here where he has lesser weapons and is absolutely a higher injury risk guy. And if Lamar gets hurt, his value goes way down. This is a guy who had 1,200 yards rushing, and he had, I believe, 8 games where he threw the ball less than 25 times. So we don't we he's still not a proven passer. I know he threw through, he threw 36 touchdown passes last year, but he's just so efficient because he had 1,200 rush, he had 1,200 rushing yards. So when you're running through open lanes like that, of course it's going to give you wide open passing lanes as well. So if something were to happen, heaven forbid that something were to happen to that, his value goes way down, right? So he's super volatile as well. And if I'm drafting for kind of my staple quarterback, the guy who's going to be the bedrock of that position for the foreseeable future, it's not going to be a guy who has an injury risk. It's not going to be a guy who I think is putting themselves in, a significantly larger opportunity to get injured, which when you run the ball 180 times in a given year, you're opening yourself up to a higher injury risk than I want my quarterback to do. Because I think there are guys with similar upside to Lamar, i.e., Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott, that are with super stable teams, that have great offensive minded coaches, that have a plethora of weapons that can do very similar things to Lamar Jackson. While they maybe don't have that ultimate ceiling, kind of like what we saw last year, Lamar Jackson was the number one player in fantasy football for a reason last year. He's a cheat code when he's healthy and when he's doing his thing and he's being effective. But if any of that stuff falls apart, he becomes less effective, or he gets hurt, or anything happens to the offense, or they lose offensive line continuity or anything like that, his value shoots way down. So that's the only reason why he's number three for me, but he's still number three. He is the human joystick of this era. The guy is a crazy athlete when he's on the field, and he makes corners and safeties and linebackers look silly out there on the field. So I would like to build around him. Unfortunately, I'm never going to have him in any of the drafts that I do, because he's going off the board and redraft at a very similar position to Patrick Mahomes, and I would significantly rather have Patrick Mahomes in this case. So I'm not going to have him in redraft, and I'm probably not going to have him in dynasty, because I tend to not reach for a quarterback in either of those formats. So he's probably my favorite best ball quarterback, simply because he will have weeks where he wins people, games. That's just the way it is. When you run the ball 20 times as a quarterback in a given week, and you can turn out 160 rushing yards and two touchdowns to go along with three passing touchdowns, and who cares how many yards you have at that point, you're going to win somebody a week. So I'm super high on him, but yeah, unfortunately, he runs that injury risk, and his lack of weapons. And I think, as we talked, a week or so ago, I think Baltimore's looking to build up that defense. And with that, you build up a defense, you're correspondingly going to not put as many resources into your offense. And as you tend to do that, it's a spectrum. You generally don't have a great defense paired with a great offense. So if you look, well, and I say they're looking to build a defense, and we haven't talked about the cut of Earl Thomas yet. So they cut a major piece from their defense today. So as of this recording earlier today, they cut Earl Thomas off of the team, and now he is supposedly a target of the Dallas Cowboy defense, which I would love, as long as he would show up to meetings and not be a detriment. But
Yeah, coincidentally, Dallas freed up a lot of cap space same day too. So, okay,
All right, number four.
number four. You want to jump into it? I think it's your turn.
Yeah, I can. And this I'm really bullish on this guy this year, as well going forward. He continues to improve, and if they would just unleash the beast, I think he would only get better. And they put a huge draft stock into, and when I say huge draft stock, I mean they spent a premium draft pick, and the guy they drafted is a monster from last year. And I am speaking of Russell Wilson paired along with DK Metcalf. If Seattle would ever just let this guy take over, the league is in trouble. They want to be a rushing offense, but man, you've got, I said it when he was at NC State, when he transferred over there, and I said, this guy is different. He's just different. He throws with precision. He's so accurate. It's crazy. I loved him coming out of college, and he has done nothing but impress since he's been in the league. The unfortunate part is he just doesn't have, he hasn't been given the reps. He hasn't been given the opportunity to really utilize an open offense, and feed the ball to guys like Tyler Lockett, who is one of the most efficient route runners in the league, or work with DK Metcalf, who is one of the greatest specimens that we've seen since Calvin Johnson. This guy is a freak, DK Metcalf. Just look at pictures of this guy. He is crazy athletic. He is stacked. He's going to be a stud in the league. And if they would let Russell Wilson throw 12 passes to him in a game, he's probably coming down with 11 of them for 175 yards and a couple scores. So, I mean, his floor is safe. his floor is super safe. You're not going to get a guy who has just that, you know, you're, that week, that quarterback 1 week every week. If you were to pick that guy out of a group, it's Russell Wilson. I love him this year. I think they're finally with the kind of trepidation of where their running back room is situation, where their running back room is situated. I don't think they're going to rely on their rushing attack as much as they have in the past. They don't have a Marshawn Lynch they can turn to. So I think they're going to let Russell Wilson kind of unload on the league. And if they do, he is poised to have a breakout season. And they'll finally realize that, hey, we can just do this every year, and just let this guy feed on the on these cornerbacks. So.
Yeah, I like it. Especially since I've got him on my dynasty team. He's actually the number he's the thank you, by the way. He's the number two highest career passer rating quarterback from the list that I'm looking at Pro Football. He's the number two. He's at 101.2 for his career. So there's only one other quarterback in their career that's had over that has had over 100 rating for their career. Can you name who that is?
Tony Romo.
No, he was number four at 97.1. Is Aaron Rodgers actually?
I knew he was up there.
Yeah.
I knew he was up
So
there.
it was Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Tony Romo, Tom Brady, and Dak are tied at 97. Kirk Cousins at 90. Excuse me, at number seven, tied with Steve Young.
Gross.
Wow, that was
Gross.
amazing.
Gross.
I like your number four pick, Matt. I just worry about that, and I think you said it multiple times. If they just turn him loose, if they just turn him loose, if they just turn him loose, it seems like Pete Carroll just wants to throw the ball until he doesn't want to throw it anymore, regardless of what Russell is doing. So that is just it's frustrating, right? Especially for fantasy owners of Russell Wilson to see him be so successful, and then it's like Pete Carroll slams on the brakes for whatever crazy reason. I like Russ at four. I think he's a strong candidate there. But for my number four, I had to put in Lamar. Russ is going to be five for me, but I got to have Lamar in there. He comes in at number four in my dynasty pickings. He's obviously a great option for win now situations, and you said it time and time again about the injury risk that he poses for fantasy owners, and that's why he's my number four. The guy is amazing. When he has the ball, he's great. He's stellar. No one else is like him, with the exception of maybe Michael Vick in his prime, right? So when you're watching him and you're seeing how he plays, you've got to look at history and see what the quarterbacks that are like him, what their careers have looked like. And he really mirrors that. He mirrors that running back style quarterback, which we've said is prone to injury because they get hit a lot. So if he really doesn't develop into that stronger drop back play in the pocket, we haven't really seen it. He only threw 3,100 yards last season. He's got to trust his line and his receivers, and that's going to be tough to do. Like you said, if they stack the defense, it's going to be tough to do that because they're not putting a lot of money into developing those weapons for him. I think he'll just join the list of quarterbacks that go out of the league before they're 30 or kind of settle into that backup role. And really the person that I'm thinking of is RG3. And do you know who RG3 backs up today? Do you know
Say
who
that again.
RG3 backs up today in the league? He's actually a backup. Do you know who he backs up for? Lamar
Pressure.
Jackson. He
Is
is
he
in
in Baltimore?
Baltimore. Isn't that crazy? The two guys play the exact same way.
Interesting.
RG3 obviously had that devastating knee injury years ago, and he's basically been tossed sort of on the back burner. And I
Yeah, they don't play the same
Yeah,
way
no,
anymore.
he can't, right? They don't play the same way because he can't. Like RG3 can't play that way anymore, and he's not good enough to be a starter. So therefore, he's the backup in Baltimore. In case Lamar goes down, he can sort of mimic that, but he's 30, right? So He's had to change his play style over the years for sure. And I just don't see Lamar being able to do that for the next, I don't see him be able to do it for the next 3 years, much less 5 years to 10 years, right? Whereas all of these other guys that we've talked about, even Russell Wilson has another 10 years in the league if he wants it, right? I think he's that good that he can play into his 40s easily as the other top quarterbacks that I listed off, right? Aaron Rodgers, I don't think Tony played into his 40s, obviously, but Tom Brady, Steve Young, I think he ended early, but he could have easily played into his 40s. Drew Brees, he's up there at age, right? Dak's young, but Peyton Manning is in the top 10. So, I when you look at history and the longevity of a quarterback that plays a more quarterback play style versus a running back play style, you just have that history to back it up that says this player is going to last a lot longer. So that's why Lamar doesn't make it in the top three for me, for Dynasty, just because I don't see him having the longevity. So that rounds out my top four, Matt. I think our lists were pretty interesting. I was surprised that you said Russ. He's 30, 31, I think. So he does have plenty of years left, but that's if Seattle, is able to actually turn him loose. And I think my sort of shocker pick for you was Kyler, and Kyler's not that proven asset. I totally understand why people would be hesitant to put them in their top four. He just profiles really good for me, so that's why I picked him. But I can't argue with really any of our picks. I think, out of the six that we had in there, I think we had a pretty good list there. Where were interesting. I'd be curious, where would you have Kyler in your list? Where would he be put at?
He's probably so. My list is those top four. And even it's funny that you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers still probably in my top six. So my fifth player, if we're looking at a kind of a longer lead time stance here is probably Tua. I don't hate Tua Tagovailoa down in Miami. I think he's got a lot of weapons around him, and they just had a fantastic draft. They're going to be able to build around. They just loaded up on offensive linemen. That's the fundamental building block to having a good offense. So I think they did a great job of addressing the offensive line, and now they're going to be able to develop Tua behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then bring in a couple good weapons. They know they have Devontae Parker already, who is, a good outside X receiver. They can either go the way of free agency and go sign a guy like a Michael Gallup, or somebody who comes up in free. If Tampa Bay can't sign Chris Godwin back, they can go get somebody like that and stick that in that stick them in that offense and really kind of take off. And the Patriots aren't that big of a threat anymore. They got to find the next guy. So they could be the team in that division to kind of sneak up on everybody and make some waves. I don't think it's this year. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starter for the vast majority there. And I actually think they're going to be pretty decent with him. Definitely from a
Yeah.
fantasy perspective, but even from a real life perspective, the quote unquote best quarterback in that division right now is Josh Allen. And I'm not high on Josh Allen. I just don't think he's not that good. He's just not. And then I'm probably actually looking at Trey Lance. He probably rounds out my, between Aaron Rodgers, if I'm going to go young in the top six, it's going to be Trey Lance. If I'm going to go older and just look at the immediate future, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. If anybody doesn't know who Trey Lance is, the guy is a quarterback out of North Dakota State, who is in the same vein as Carson Wentz. No surprise, they went to the same college. He had zero interceptions last year on, I believe, 35 passing touchdowns. So he's a freak. I mean, if you want a younger Kyler Murray that I think will actually end up in a better situation than what Kyler Murray is in, I would look at Trey Lance because, and I say that meaning, Trey Lance is going to come into the league, and he's going to be probably the third quarterback off the board next year. It's going to go Trevor Lawrence. He's going to go one. And then probably Justin Fields from Ohio State University is probably going to go two. So that means that Trey Lance is actually going to get pushed down the board and go to a better team, right? So if you go higher in the draft, you're going to a worse team. If you go to, if you go in the teens, which I think is probably where Trey Lance goes in the draft, you're going to an already decently established team. I'm super bullish on him. And if I'm looking out in the next 5 to 7 years, that's the guy who I'm going to hang my hat on because he does have all of those weapons. He's got the rushing ability. He throws with velocity and accuracy. And he just looks like a winner. I see him and he looks really good. But yeah, so I'm not, I'm to answer your question, long story long, I'm not just not super high on Kyler. So if I had to pivot and take somebody, it would be Lance in draft. So I would be loading up on 2021 draft picks.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, and quarterback is one of those, a lot of people are talking about Joe Burrow. You hinted at it. I like Joe Burrow. I just don't like Cincinnati. Same with Baker, right? Baker's a good quarterback, I think. Maybe. He's got some weapons there, but it's Cleveland. They're abysmal. They're just not good. So it's hard. It's hard for quarterbacks to be good regardless of how good they are on bad teams, right? They just don't have the opportunity to really shine and become those superstars and change their team for the better, just because their team is bad. It's just bad. So you're not going to change a team with a quarterback, I don't think. So drafting a quarterback at number one or number two isn't necessarily going to elevate a really bad team. It just doesn't. So some of these younger guys, I want to see them play before I put them into those positions. That's where Kyler, for me, is able to break the mold, because he was on a bad team and he was pretty damn good. And now you give him some more weapons. I mean, you got Kenyon Drake, who's going to be coming out of his, coming into his into his peak performance, I think, in Arizona. And you've got DeAndre Hopkins, who, like I said earlier, I think is arguably the number one in the league. He just has weapons now, so he's going to be able to turn it on and go to his play style versus being rushed and having to make things happen like a Burrow or a Josh Allen had to last year, or a Baker Mayfield has to. So, yeah, these younger guys, you got to see them play. You got to see how they do, I think. But if you already know they're on a mid-level team or a better team, like you hinted at, like if they go later in the draft, they're going to get on a better team. That puts them in a great position to play to their play style versus having to adapt and change because they're on a crappy team. So, I think you make a good point there. Okay, so. I think that kind of finishes off our top four dynasty quarterbacks. Before we jump in, do we want to let the audience members know if we partake in any beverages this evening?
We can,
So
yeah.
I've had a couple of it's actually a local brew called Rock Yard. They have this red ale. It's called Tusky, and yeah, it's like a woolly mammoth type emblem, I guess, on their can. It's delicious. It's red ale. It's got a really, really strong amber flavor. I really like it. They're actually selling them for super cheap because they had something with the COVID deal where they couldn't sell their cans to their distributors. So you could pick up I think a six pack for $5, and then 4 6 packs for something crazy, or 5 6 packs for like $20 or something like that. It's pretty crazy. So I loaded up, but I've enjoyed a couple of those this evening. What about you?
Yeah, so I spent the vast majority of my day out on the deck, smoking a pork loin. So I did a bit of day drinking today with some Busch lattes, not to be confused with Busch Lights. They are actually Busch lattes. They were limited edition, so I'm going to class it up a little bit. They did not include any coffee or dairy product in there. So any of our folks out there that are caffeine intolerant or lactose intolerant, you can go enjoy a nice bush latte, or 10 of them, and really kind of hone in on your night and your fantasy football advice. So.
Don't let him fool you. He's not classy, neither am I. So, all right, barbecue. Let's talk barbecue. So you smoked some pork tenderloin this evening. How'd it turn out?
Yeah, it turned out really well. This was my third or fourth pork tenderloin that I had done. I did a little bit different marinade. I marinated it for about a day and a half in some apple juice, and then I used honey and a pork slash poultry rub that I got. It is the Traeger branded version of the pork and poultry rub. I do prefer to cook on the Traeger. It's really nice. You can temperature control, plug in the thermometer, and then basically just leave it all day. So it went really well. It actually stalled about 138, and then it needed to really polish off to about 146. So I got it up to the perfect temperature, got it cut up, made some pasta salad to go along with it. The wife and the kids really love pasta salad, and then cut up some watermelon. So while it was nice and light for the sides, the tenderloin paired really well because it has a little bit of that sweetness. And then for the last 30 minutes of it going on, as it stalled, I went ahead and rubbed some honey barbecue sauce on it to really give it that extra
Nice.
tanginess.
What
So.
type of wood did you use?
It's apple. I go with
Good
apple on my
call.
pork. It's either apple or cherry on most things, but if I'm going to do ribs or anything like that that's got a little more fat content, I'm going to probably go with the cherry. I tend to stay away from like the hickories and the different more traditional woody type flavoring. I like the fruit flavorings. I just think it just makes it a little lighter.
Yeah, when I smoke ribs, I usually use cherry for the first portion. It's the 3-2-1 method, so I'll use cherry for the first 3 hours straight up, and then I'll switch over to hickory for the remaining two cooks, just to give it, kind of a little bit of a woody after bit, but you still get that sweet from the cherry. That's definitely my preferred. I haven't used apple yet.
What do you use as your baster in the pork?
So
What's
it's
your
usually apple juice, a little bit of apple cider vinegar and honey, and then just some random spices, but that's pretty much the majority of the basting that I use for it. So it's apple juice is primarily the sweetener for it. If I don't have that on hand, I grab one of the kids. If I don't
that's
have that on hand, I'll grab one of the kids' Capri Suns and dump it in there.
There you go. Another tasty alternative is actually Coca-Cola. So, you can dump some Coca-Cola in there. It loosens those fibers up really well. I use Coca-Cola with my pork shoulders. So when I'm doing pulled pork, I use about a can of Coca-Cola in the bottom of that and really get it nice and loose.
Yeah, I've used Dr. Pepper once before, but I usually stick to the juices, just the really sweet as I can, right? So your apple juices seem to work really well. And like I said, the kids juice drinks, because that's a mixture of random assortment of fruit juices you throw in there too, works pretty well too. But yeah, Coke or any type of dark soda, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, any of those will work pretty well as well. So
Well, and you need any additional sweetness that you can get,
that
so that
is
makes
for
sense.
sure.
Quite the bitter.
I got the bite. I got the bite. Yeah. All right. So, are we ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, I think
Right.
so.
So,
Yeah.
something of note, I just got the notification today. We are actually on, hold on. It is called, I think it's Breaker Podcast. So, we are now on three different platforms. We're on, obviously, Anchor. We are on Spotify, and Matt's shared those links through our Twitter handle, which is FB Burner. That is at FB Burner on our Twitter page. So those links are there. Like I said, Anchor, Spotify, and now Breaker Podcast. I had to look it up, but it seems like it's called the Social Podcast app. So hopefully, we can get some more listeners through that. Then as we expand to additional platforms as well, we'll get those announced out. But yeah, just interesting news. We just heard that today. So that's cool news from our end. And any other news that we want to share with the group?
No, I was gonna call out a couple recent follows in the Twitter sphere. So, Scotty Mack, who is one of my good buddies, is also in our League of Reference. Was our first official follow on Twitter. So, special call out to at Scott Wildcat as well as at Bosco Boys. If you want a K-State, if you have any of the fellow Kansas State Wildcat fans out there, if you're wanting a good a really good listen about all things K-State. Check out at Bosco's Boys. It's Bosco's Boys. So at Bosco's Boys, they have a great podcast over there, calling out all of the K-State stuff. And then just to follow up on some of the other follows, Greg Hauser, thanks for the follow, Dynasty Society, and Taking Down the House. So we'll continue to get the word out, and put out some good content, and hopefully grow this thing. So.
Yeah. So, I think that is a wrap. We t ready to take the pads off? All right, let's take
Take
the
them
pads
off.
off, and we will talk to you all sometime next week. We'll put out another, hopefully, two episodes as we go throughout the week. So, thanks for the listening, and we'll talk to y'all later.
See you guys and gals.